Welcome to In Defense of Humanity on this first day of spring, 2015. We've had a pretty day here in central Ohio. It's been 60 degrees. Good sign of things to come. This program, In Defense of Humanity, is about helping people reawaken to the wonderful qualities of our own species, while accepting and understanding that the current commercial legal structure, both government and business, is built upon, is actively working to take control of most organic life forms on our planet. Restoring our unalienable rights and preserving our planet will require that we, the people, understand what has happened and learn how to empower ourselves as living men and women. My name is Al Whitney. I am the editor of the AntiCorruptionSociety.com website and Parents Against Mandatory Vaccine website. Normally, I co-host this program with Ingrid Castle of VacLib.org, but Ingrid's off tonight. So tonight, we have a program planned for you. We're going to talk about the Delphi Perception Management Technique. Their water rights, their control over their children. I think that if you've been looking closely at what's been going on, they are actively engaged in the process of devouring its parent. And I have been friends. I tried to get involved with this. There turns out in Central Ohio there is a clique of these institutions. And at one time I was actually thinking that I could make a difference and get a resolution, get the city council to look at a resolution that I thought was important. So I started hanging out with these people and going to meetings, and I met some really nice people, but I realized quickly that it was a clique. In Central Ohio, they have the non-governmental organizations they call NGOs, which are generally 501(c) nonprofit corporations. Okay? Then they have the regional planning, which is a private corporate entity that gets money from the government and feeds it to different programs. Then you have local government that are elected. Not too many of those are involved in these meetings. What you have is employees of the local elected government. And these employees, these three come together and they form like a clique. They interchange. One will be an environmental steward for the city. Next thing you know, she's employed by an environmental organization. They know each other very well. They know how their system works very well. They don't have a problem. They don't feel guilty about the fact that they're putting forth policies that are going to affect all the workers, all the employed, all the middle class, all the poor. It doesn't even
doesn't even compute in their head. They're just doing their job. They're fulfilling their roles. And because they're together in kind of what you would call a social environment, they think they're all doing the right thing. And they support each other that they're doing the right thing. And they all think they're important. They think they're making a great contribution. And they are completely separate from what real life is here in Central Ohio. And I remember asking one of them, one who was very nice, who I became good friends with, I said, don't you see that what you're doing here is going to affect all these people out here on the street, and they have no idea what you're doing? They have completely clueless of what you're doing. And her response to me was, all our meetings are open to the public. And she literally believed that because the meetings are open to the public, they had the right to go forward and tax and put regulations and policies and restrictions and programs that would affect all of these people who live in Central Ohio. That's what I call mind control. Those people hang together. They are completely brainwashed. And I'm not so sure that going to any of their Delphi meeting is going to change that. However, we did put together a little brochure that we'll post on our website. If you want to try and take this brochure and pass it out before people walk into the room, the name of the brochure is Are You About to Be Delphi'd? I'm not sure that will make any difference, but you know, I may not be the sharpest pencil in the box, but I have to tell you, it took me more than one Delphi experience. As I told you, I went through six of them. It took me more than one to figure out what was happening. So I wonder what would have happened if somebody would have given me a little brochure as I go into the building that says, are you being Delphi'd? And explaining what I was about to experience, it might have made a difference.
Of the facilitators.
What goes up must come down. Spinning wheel, got to go round. Talking about your troubles, it's a crying sin. Ride a painted pony, let the spinning wheel spin. You got no money and you got no home. Spinning wheel, all of.
Well, good evening, folks. We had some wires crossed tonight. This is Al Whitney. This is April 18th in Defense of Humanity. Sorry for the confusion. Somehow, someone was under the impression that we were going to do a replay, and that's not what we had in mind at all. Ingrid's not here tonight. She's off, but I'm here tonight, and I am the host of the Anti-Corruption Society, Parents Against Mandatory Vaccines, and People for Safe Technologies website. And I kind of wanted to talk tonight. I'm really glad that we straightened out the confusion, because tonight I wanted to talk about smart meters and radio frequencies. And I looked at what we've been discussing. We've been on almost a year now, and we haven't had a chance to talk about this. And both Ingrid and myself have done quite a bit of research on it, as have many people. Certainly, I'm not going to pretend to be the expert on this, but I think that because we look at the legal system a little different than everyone else, we may have a different take on the smart meter issue and the ramifications. 4 years ago, I established the website People for Safe Technology in response to the growing threat of radio frequency pollution. My goal was to follow the advancement of RF technology in my community and my state, and to share my discoveries, which is why I established People for Safe Technologies. When I did my research, I discovered the policies that had been adopted and were being promoted by the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio. We fondly call it PUCO, and their plan to set up smart grid in Ohio. If you go to our website, People for Safe Technologies, you can type that in, I think, either with or without spaces, and you get to the website. scroll down on the left and you can see a link to Smart Grid in Ohio. And that's what the Public Utilities Commission is publicly stating for everyone to understand. That's what they're going to promote. Mike, did you get that audio clip? Looks like we can't reach Mike right now. Over time, I was able to connect and network with others who shared my concerns and included their research and videos on my website. One of those that I met and I still talk to all the time, we share information. Some of you may have heard of her. Her name is Deborah Tavares. She has a website, stopthecrime.net. And she started in her advocacy. I believe the smart meter was her very first topic, and she was just absolutely flabbergasted when she discovered what's really going on and what the government is all about. So I've been on her show several times. I really admire her researching. I admire her communication skills, and she may or may not call in tonight if she has a chance, but she is going to be a guest on our program next Saturday night. So if you like listening to Deborah, tune in on next Saturday. If you've never heard her, you're in for a treat. But most people know nothing about radio frequency pollution. They were never taught that our biological life on planet Earth thrives in a specific frequency. At least I know I wasn't. And that frequency is called Schumann's resonance. There is a fabulous documentary that is free online called, and you can type in YouTube or you can just type in this name, Resonance, Beings of Frequency. It is outstanding and it is something that everybody should know about. Mike, are you there? Can we play that audio clip that I sent you? Looks like we're going to have some difficulty. We'll get back to Mike and try. Pardon? Okay, thank you. This is just a short clip from that wonderful documentary, Resonance, Beings of Frequency. And after the show, I'm going to put up some links. If you're a new listener, you're probably not aware that on anticorruptionsociety.com, we have a tab at the top that says IDH program links. And each Saturday night after the program, I try to put the links that we talk about during the program on that page. So I will put a link to both this clip and the full documentary after the show, which I highly recommend. So let's hope Mike's got this. It's just a short 10-minute audio clip, and it gives you a bit of the history of how they came to discover Schumann's resonance and what the significance is to our state of well-being, considering most of us don't even realize that we're living in this frequency, which is about 7.83 hertz, and that is the normal frequency for life on planet Earth. It's disheartening to know that this technology is interrupting that. So it's something that it's important to consider. Are you ready, Mike? Thank you.
An unknown scientist is about to make a discovery that should have changed everything. His name was Winifred Otto Schumann. On the day in question, he was teaching his students about the physics of electricity, how a sphere within a sphere can create electrical tension, and subsequently, a frequency. Schumann's class had struggled to understand the subject. So to make it easier, the professor instructed them to imagine the Earth as one sphere and the ionosphere as another. He then asked them to calculate the tension that would exist in between. Having no idea himself, Schumann also began to calculate. Eventually, he arrived at a frequency of approximately 10 hertz. As incredible as it seemed to Schumann, our planet had a pulse, a measurable frequency that surrounded life on Earth. Although the professor was proud of his find, he didn't see it as a hugely significant one, especially as it was only published in a small science journal, confined to the back pages, under the heading of Schumann Resonance. It would take several years, and an incredible twist of fate, before the professor would begin to realize the true importance of Schumann Resonance. That twist of fate had begun 30 years earlier, with another German scientist by the name of Hans Berger. Using an EEG machine he had built himself, Berger had made the first ever recording of electrical frequency transmitted by the human brain. It was initially suggested the wave be named after the man who'd discovered it, but Berger, being a modest man, elected for an alphabetical name and called it the Alpha Wave. Shortly after Professor Schumann's discovery, one of Hans Berger's colleagues, a man named Dr. Ankermüller, happened to stumble upon a bedraggled copy of a small scientific journal. The exact same small scientific journal that Professor Schumann's discovery had been published in several years before. He read the piece several times, shaking his head in disbelief. He realized instantly the magnitude of what was in front of him. The frequency of the alpha waves, recorded by Hans Berger, were almost identical to Schumann resonance. The frequency of the Earth. Dr. Ankermüller immediately contacted Schumann to convince him to investigate further. Schumann agreed and worked alongside one of his students to refine his discovery. They studied in detail how tension is discharged by lightning in the Earth's ionosphere cavity. Eventually, they came up with an exact frequency. The pulse of the Earth, Schumann resonance, was exactly 7.83 hertz. The discovery was remarkable. Schumann resonance wasn't just similar to the alpha waves of the human brain. It was identical. The brain's frequency, which controlled our creativity, our performance, our stress, anxiety, and our immune system, had somehow tuned in to the frequency of the planet. The pulse of the Earth had become the pulse of life itself. The frequency of a wave is measured in hertz. This refers to the number of oscillations the wave makes each second. Frequencies range from a billionth the size of an atom to the length of the universe itself. In theory, frequencies are infinite, so ultimately endless. If this was a coincidence, it was nature's most spectacular. So what did all this mean? It wasn't long before somebody tried to find out. His name was Rutger Weaver, an acclaimed scientist from the Max Planck Institute. In the early 1960s, the professor constructed an underground bunker in order to examine the circadian rhythms of man. The circadian rhythm is the day-night cycle that is engraved into all life. Over a 30-year period, the professor conducted experiments in which student volunteers would spend several weeks at a time living in the bunker, completely shielded from the natural resonances of the Earth. In his results, Weaver noted some astonishing findings. He discovered that when Schumann resonance was filtered out of the bunker, the students' physical and mental health would suffer.
He took students down there. He didn't trust to do it with ill or old people. He took young students down there because he knew, Weva knew that there would be an effect. So obviously underground, you don't have Schumann resonance. You only have the transverse magnetic fields from in the earth. So by putting them underground, they started feeling sick, having headaches. Their circadian rhythm was completely upset. The interesting thing was, when he just introduced the 7.8 hertz frequency with a magnetic pulse generator, that immediately stopped.
Weaver would secretly introduce the 7.83 frequency to the bunker via a man-made transmitter. Each time he did so, he noted the ill effects suffered by the volunteers either disappeared or decreased. Their stress, headaches, and emotional distress was reduced, and their sense of well-being was restored. All by the introduction of Schumann resonance. Weaver's research had revealed an incredible connection between human health and the natural frequency of the planet. And in 2011, groundbreaking research suggested something even more impressive, that Schumann resonance could be connected to the beginnings of life itself. The breakthrough came at the hands of Luc Montagnier, the Nobel Prize winning scientist who first discovered the HIV virus. The professor was conducting water memory experiments, examining how water could retain a memory of substances that had previously been dissolved in it, when he stumbled upon something that would challenge the very principles of science. All life comes from life. This is a fundamental principle of science, and one which has never been violated in any experiment. Life can only exist where life has existed before. And the mechanism for this has always been understood to be a material one, such as egg and sperm, or spore and cell division. But Luc Montagnier's experiments have offered a very different hypothesis. The professor showed that DNA sequences, the very building blocks of life, communicate with each other in water by emitting low frequency electromagnetic waves. Even when the DNA was kept in separate test tubes, the professor still recorded electromagnetic communication between them. How sophisticated could this communication be? Well, Luc Montagnier showed they are able to organize nucleotides, the ingredients which actually make up DNA, into brand new DNA. Science has combined these ingredients countless times before, but in no experiment have they ever been able to recreate the spark of life and transform nucleotides into actual DNA, not without DNA already being present. Life, after all, can only exist where life has existed before. But in Luc Montagnier's experiments, the DNA had been completely filtered from the water, yet new DNA was still formed. Just how was this possible? How had Luc Montagnier managed to achieve what no other scientist could, and create life where no life was present? What was so different about Luc Montagnier's experiments? There was the presence of a frequency which, when removed, would cause the experiments to fail, but when present, would ensure that they would succeed. That frequency was 7.83 hertz, Schumann resonance. A delicate relationship had been struck between life and the frequency of the planet, an interaction of living organisms and electromagnetic frequencies, a reliance, a bond. Evidence of this can be found by reading the science papers, but more obvious proof can be found by simply walking outside.
Well, I think that's pretty amazing. When I first heard it, I was astounded. I was more or less flabbergasted. And what's kind of disturbing, or what's really disturbing, is what they've known that for a long time. They know it now. Anyone who believes that this attack that's going on against the society in this country and elsewhere is an accident is really naive. They know all the science that's going on. Trust me, this research did not go unnoticed, and yet they continue to roll out this RF radio frequency attack on the entire population. If you would Google antenna search, just Google antenna search and then type in your zip code, and you will find how many antennas have been installed around the area where you live. In my area, it's just, you know, I can see some right here from my desk, and I know where others are. They're everywhere. So on our website, People for Safe Technology, we've tried to expose this attack that all of this technology is creating against the society that's being subjected to all these abnormal radio frequencies. On the homepage, we have a section there, and they're listed so people can listen to them one at a time and really get an understanding of what's going on. We have one section where they're exposing the Wi-Fi that people are subjected to in hotels. Our children more and more are being subjected to it in school, on campuses, and certainly in our own homes. The next section that we have there is on cell towers. Again, they're everywhere. People have started to complain, so they're now disguising them. But antenna search will show you where they are near where you live. Then we have a section on smart meters that was really well done, and another section on cell phones. So this is the telecommunication industry that is surrounding us. I refer to it as a techno trap because people love their phones. They enjoy them. They keep them with them. They refer to them. They go online on these cell phones, and they have absolutely no idea what this is doing to their physical being. As that clip exposed, they discovered when the resonance was gone, the young students in their experiment suffered from a lack of creativity, increased stress, and it also diminished their immune system. This is what happens when you alter that frequency, which is the Earth's frequency. And we even have a clip on our website of a woman who had a hive in her backyard, and when they put up a smart meter, all of a sudden all the bees disappeared. So this is pretty horrific what is going on. In general, generally people believe or are told that our government would never permit dangerous products like cell phones, Wi-Fi, and smart meters to be sold to us. In fact, fortunately, most listeners to RBM know this is a fallacy, but the general public is unaware of it, and I guess we're going to a break. Is that right?
Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay.
Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils has an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Welcome back to In Defense of Humanity. I'd like to apologize again for the kind of confusion in the beginning of the show. We got our wires crossed, but we're back and we're covering the topic of smart meters tonight and radio frequency that is around us everywhere. All the technologies that have been produced and sold by the telecommunication corporations has been sold and promoted with the assistance and cover of our corporate government. In the case of smart meters, the umbrella the corporations are trying to stand under to give them plausible deniability is the Federal Communications Commission. Even though on the website of the FCC, it states the following, quote, "There is no federally developed national standard for safe levels of exposure to radio frequency energy," unquote. And yet all of this technology is sold every day. In fact, the usage is growing exponentially. They're now trying to put Wi-Fi in all the schools. We have some great references on our website regarding the hazards of smart meters. One I recently discovered, again, if you go to People for Safe Technologies, you'll see on the homepage, I've put up a wonderful video. I think you can learn most of what you need to know in that one-hour presentation by Brian Thiessen of British Columbia, and it is titled The Truth About Smart Meters. And if you want to read more documentation about the hazards of smart meters,
we have a link on our webpage, which is a letter from the American Academy of Environmental Medicine warning the Public Utilities Commission in California about smart meters. And I might add that that warning was absolutely dismissed. And we also have a fabulous report. There's a link to it in the left column, Bioinitiative 2012. Everyone should read that. And if anyone wishes to argue with you about smart meters being safe, just refer them to that report. It is very thorough, very well done. So the question is, now that we're starting to educate ourselves, people are doing their best to say no to smart meters. They don't want them on their house. They don't want them on their commercial property, those at least who understand the problem. So the question then goes, how do we deny our consent when our utility company lets us know that it wants to install a smart meter? In my state, the American Electric Power has stated that it plans on installing smart meters to all of its customers, although they have stated so far that they're going to give their customers what they consider to be an opt-out. And we'll see how long that lasts. But I have a letter here from a wonderful woman who forwarded it to me, who lives in the state of Pennsylvania. And without her consent or knowledge, she started to feel badly, and she noticed, and when she talked to some neighbors, that they had installed a smart meter on her house. So she needed to get rid of it. She was feeling it. She was feeling the physical impact of it. She wasn't feeling well. She wasn't sleeping. So what this woman did is she hired an attorney, which we normally don't recommend. And she hired this attorney, and I think she paid him more than $100. And he agreed to send a letter to the electric company. In her case, it's called PECO, P-E-C-O. So I wanted to read you some of what this attorney said in his letter to this utility company. Please be advised that we represent Ms. Doe, I'm going to call her Jane Doe, who lives at the above address and is a PECO customer. You have installed a smart meter at our client's home, outside her bedroom and without her permission. Ms. Doe does not consent to the installation of the smart meter and asks that you replace it with an analog meter. She has a particular health issue that requires her to be cautious of every safety risk. She subscribes to the belief that, as proven to her by several writings, that these smart meters are subjecting her to a safety risk. Ms. Doe is free to demand the absolute safety of the systems attached to her home, and she demands the smart meter be removed and an analog meter be substituted instead. She is willing to provide a substitute reading each month. And he goes on to talk about her physical condition, and he ends the letter to say she demands removal and replacement in the next 30 days for these reasons, and she may take action to help herself afterwards. In addition, she is aware of relentless exposure, fires, and cancer-causing risks, plus the danger from the spikes in the electrical system. We ask that you honor Ms. Doe's request in the next 30 days so that her safety and welfare is assured and to avoid further pursuit of this matter. Your cooperation is appreciated sincerely. Well, it's not a very powerful letter, and I was dismayed to note that the lawyer, even though I know this individual, provided him with a bucket load full of information proving that smart meters are not safe and that there is truly science proving that they're not safe. But he chooses to word in his letter that she, quote, subscribes to the belief. Now, if he had been my attorney, I would have been very angry because I believe she provided him with all the facts he needed, that it wasn't just her subscribing to the belief. He could have said she has documents proving that smart meters are not safe, but he chose not to do that. So the letter went off. Meanwhile, this wonderful woman went ahead and hired someone to replace the smart meter with an analog meter. And the minute that was done, she started to feel better. Of course, at that point, she had to find a way to return the smart meter to the power company. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the lawyers for the utility company send a letter to her attorney. And I'm going to read you part of that. And this story gets even a little trickier because now we're finding out that there is a deception going on here that the both attorneys should have known about. Okay, dear Mr. Attorney, I'm in receipt of your correspondence dated August 5th. In your letter, you advise that your client did not give her consent to install the AMI, which is an advanced metering infrastructure, also known as a smart meter, at her property. And she would like the meter removed and replaced with an analog meter. You expressed that Ms. Doe had some concerns about the smart meter and the effects she believes the meter may have on her health. He goes on and here, there, and then he goes, scientific studies have not identified any health concerns associated with the use of smart meters. That is a bold-faced lie. Bioinitiative report came out in 2012, and this letter was written in August 2014. So he lies in his response, and then he goes on to say, I understand Ms. Doe does not want this smart meter at her property. However, as I have detailed above, the company is required to install the meter pursuant to Act 129 of the Pennsylvania State Legislature. There is no current legislation giving her the ability to opt out, and the commission has agreed. I trust this responds to her request to remove the smart meter. If you have any other questions, do not hesitate to call me. So this lawyer is taking the position that the state of Pennsylvania legislature had mandated that all power companies put smart meters on all customers and businesses in the state, on the businesses and the residents of everyone in the state of Pennsylvania. Well, a wonderful piece of research came out which proved that's false, which just goes to show you everybody in this game is completely willing to lie, and they're willing to do it in writing. On the 14th of April this year, Catherine Frampovich, who we have cited before, she publishes on Activist Post, and she does some really good research. She published an article that is called, and we'll put a link to this article in the IDH program links page, Conflict of Interest, Smart Meter Politicking in Pennsylvania. And she's specifically talking about Act 129 and its passage in year 2008. This is absolutely astounding. She goes on, there's interviews, they've got dates, they've got direct quotes in this research as to who said what and what was passed in the legislation, that legislation that the lawyer cited as being a mandate from the state legislature that all homes and residents have to have a smart meter. Well, lo and behold, this is how the legislation actually reads. Electronic distribution companies shall furnish smart meter technology as follows. 1. Upon request to a customer that agrees to pay the cost of the smart meter. 2. In the construction of a new residence or new building to be used by a commercial customer. 3. In accordance with a schedule of replacement of full depreciation of existing meters. And that's how the legislation read and reads to this day. So they choose to interpret that legislation. They choose to make that interpretation and tell the customers and tell the lawyers and tell everyone else that the legislature had insisted and mandated that smart meters be put on all property. So if you live in Pennsylvania and you're fighting the smart meter issue, here's an article you got to read called Conflict of Interest, Smart Meter Politicking in Pennsylvania. Wonderful article, and it really sheds some light on the scam. I mean, literally, this utility company is promoting a scam, excuse me, on the people of Pennsylvania. Now, the company, the big company, the parent company is called Exelon. And when you look at that, they have acquired a whole bunch of power companies over the last several years. If you go to their website, Exelon, they actually brag about the number of power companies that they've acquired. They're on a roll, you know. And apparently we don't have any laws in our country to prohibit these monopolies. They are just standing back and letting them scoop up all the power companies and consolidate them. And that's been going on, gosh, I think Rockefeller started with oil, and it's been going on ever since. So, this individual that we're referring to did manage to switch her meter, and she is doing fine. They have given her some difficulty. I don't know that they're going to leave her be yet, just yet. But meanwhile, she's attempted to try to return their meter, and she's doing her best to protect her property from having them come and remove the meter that she purchased and reinstall their smart meter. So, you know, we can keep everybody posted as she tells us how this battle is going for her. However, we think there's another way to deny consent, and we don't recommend the attorney route, because as you can see, the attorney, A, misrepresented the fact that there is indeed science behind what this Miss Doe was telling him. He misrepresented that as her just having this belief. And he didn't do the research to figure out whether or not it was true what this attorney who worked for the power company was saying. He just presumed it was true. So the question is, who is he working for? I mean, he certainly could have checked that legislation. He would have a whole lot more customers. Had he done that, he'd have a lot more clients who'd be willing to hire him. But he didn't. He just assumed that the lawyer who works for the power company was telling the truth. Now, why would anybody make that assumption? The lawyer working for the power company represents the interests of the power company, not the interests of the state and not the interests of the legislature. So we have another method of dealing with this, and we've talked about it. What the lawyer didn't acknowledge, and I'm not even sure Ms. Doe was quite clear on that, is that you're dealing with a corporate government. We've talked about that. Oh, my gosh. We talk about that week after week on this show in defense of humanity, and Clint Richardson has one called Corporation Nation where he talks about it as well. So when we're dealing with a corporation that is passing for a government, you need to deal with it a bit differently. And unfortunately, most lawyers won't acknowledge that our government is just a corporation. Or if they do, they say, well, but it doesn't matter. Well, it is just a corporation, and it matters very much. It is not only important, it is all important. The idea that any corporation, be it government or be it private, like the power company, the idea that any government, any corporation is in charge of, can control living flesh and blood men and women is false. Nowhere in their corporate charter is it stated that they can cause harm or injury to any living flesh and blood man, woman, or child. It isn't there. So dealing with them in a realistic way as a corporate entity is, in our opinion, the best way to handle this problem. So we have this in Lawfully Yours, but we also have it on the website People for Safe Technologies. And if you scroll down, you will see where we have a notice. What is it listed at? I'm looking at my notes here. Smart meter notice of non-consent. It's in the left column on the website. Scroll down. Smart meter notice of non-consent. And I'm going to read you a little bit of the strategy that we put together for to help people when they're in this struggle, either prior to the smart meter being put on their property or once the smart meter is put on your property, you can use the same approach to have it removed. Now, there's no guarantee they'll come and remove it, but as this woman in Pennsylvania discovered, she was able to do that herself, and then she's ready to return their property back to them. But what we suggest that people do is they start by sending a letter to the chief executive officer of the power company.
A $100 bill.
And we have a sample, and we're going to cite the American Electric Power, which is one of the largest in the country, and which just happens to be mine. So I used mine because I could easily find the information, and I could easily find on the website. I know their address. They're in my town. So we're writing a letter to them, and I think we're going to be coming up on a break real soon. Let me just continue until Mike cuts in with the break. Here's the pardon? Oh, okay. Thank you. Ah, okay. Here's the letter, a sample letter, and we have a template of it on that page on People for Safe Technology. But here is a sample, and it's written to the chief executive officer of the power company. You put in the address. Dear Mr. Bluehoop, recently I became aware that your corporation plans on installing unsafe smart meters on homes and businesses in Ohio. Please note, I was not a party to that decision. Attached is my lawful notice regarding the installation of a smart meter on my house. It represents a lawful denial of consent. I do hereby request that my denial of consent notice be filed in your records and that AEP smart meter installers be so informed. I do not consent to having a smart meter or an analog wireless transmitter placed on my home. Sincerely, John Doe. And you put on their enclosure, and we suggest that you CC it to the executive officers that are listed on their website. In our case, they listed five of them, all executive or senior vice presidents. So the letter goes with the notice. Now, the notice is your lawful document. This is your lawful document giving them formal notice of non-consent. This is important. If you do not formally deny them consent, it is presumed or assumed that you consent. A phone call to their employee does not constitute a denial of consent. That's just a phone call. It's just a chat. Those employees do not represent the legal department, nor are they able to make any decisions. They are just hired to talk to you on the phone and repeat the corporate line. So talking to them is literally a waste of time because they will just tell you what they've been told to say. So it's important that people understand this is not a constitutional matter. I repeat, this is not a constitutional matter. This is a corporate entity that is insisting on installing dangerous equipment on your property. And you have an ongoing contract with this corporation, which does not include giving them the authority to put dangerous equipment on your property without your consent. That's how the approach that we're using, because The Constitution, people aren't going to win on the Constitution on this. All our courts, as we talked about, all our courts are corporate commercial courts, and they're, all the judges are administrative judges. And again, I can't recommend enough to read Judge Dale's The Great American Adventure, which is a free download on the home website of anticorruptionsociety.com. You can scroll down. There's a picture of the cover. Click on that, and it's a free download. I strongly recommend you read it, because then you will start to understand what kind of legal system we really have. But what we've done in the smart meter notice is we started out by making a declaration, okay? And the first line, we say, AEP provides electricity to our home, and we give the address. As a flesh and blood living man and woman who receive and pay for this electricity, we declare the following. Then you go on to make statements of facts. It's a little bit like an affidavit, but it's not quite. You state nothing but facts. We are aware, is how we're putting it. We are aware that AEP wishes to install smart meters on homes in the state of Ohio and has been granted the approval of the Public Utility Commission of Ohio to do so. AEP is chartered in the state of Ohio to provide public utility service. So we're letting them know that we understand it's a chartered corporation for one purpose only, to provide public utility service. Number two, we are aware that the Public Utilities Commission is a private corporation listed on Dun & Bradstreet and headquartered in Columbus, Ohio. We are aware that, and we give the name of the commissioners, were appointed, not elected, as commissioners for the Public Utility Commission of Ohio. In Ohio, when I looked them up, I think there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 5 commissioners. 4 of them are attorneys. And they were all put in place pretty much in the last several years. And I strongly suspect that they put attorneys in place so that they could handle this conflict that they knew was going to come when it came to smart meters. I'm absolutely certain that they wanted attorneys in there to reassure them they wouldn't get in trouble for installing, promoting this dangerous technology across the state. Okay, we'll take calls in the second hour. We're going to break now, and I'd love to hear stories about anyone who's had conflicts with their utility company, but all calls will be welcome. Wait, we're going to break, and we'll be back soon.
Financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses declining.